Brihadacharya Sutrita Sri Srimad. Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT founder charges Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Brihadacharya Sutrita Sri Srimad. His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namachar Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsa Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Siva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopino Gopino Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Sri Mayapur Navadip Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. New Dwarka Dhamma Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Srimati Tosi Devi Ki Jai. Srimati Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Harinama Sankirtana Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda Haribo. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Guranga Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text Number 45, Srimad Bhagavatam. Yan. We're in text 45, yeah. Maitunadi Griyamedi Shukam Hi Tucham Kanduyanena Karayor Eva Dukadukam Tripyanti Neha Kripana Bahu Dukha, Bhaja, Kandutivan, Manasijam, Vishaheta, Dira, Yanmai Tunadi, Griyamedi, Sukamhitu Cham, Kandu yanena karayor eva duka dukam. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu duka bhaja. Kandu tivan manasi jamvishaheta dira. Yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukam hitu cham. Kandu yanena karayor eva duka dukam. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu duka bhaja. Kandu tivan manasi jam vishaheta dira. Yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukam hitu cham. Kandu yanena karayor eva duka dukam. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu duka bhaja. Kandu tivan manasi jam vishaheta dira. Tanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. Kandu tivan manasi jam hivseta heya. Kandu yanena karayor eva duka dukam. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. Kanduti van manasi jam visaheta dira. Yan mai tunadi grihamedi sukam hitu cham. Kandu yanena karayor eva duka dukam. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. Kanduti van manasi jam visaheta dira. Yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukam hitu cham. Kandu yanena kurayor eva duka dukam. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. Kandu tivan manasi jam visaheta dira. Yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukam hitu cham. Kandu yanena kavayor eva duka duka. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. Dukadam manasi jam visaheta dira. Mataji's. Yan mai tunadi grihamedi sukam hitu cham. Kandu yanena karayor eva duka dukam. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu kutkatyajam. Kandu tivan manasi jam visaheta dira. Word for word meaning. Yat, that which is meant for material sense gratification. Maituna adi, represented by talking of sex. Reading sexual literature. Or enjoying sex life. At home or outside. As in a club. Griyamedi sukam. All types of material happiness based on attachment to family, society, friendship, and so forth. He, indeed, tucham, insignificant, kandu yanena, with the itching, karayoho, of the two hands, to relieve the itching. Eva, like. Dukkha dukkam, different types of happiness into which one is put after, into which one is put after such itching sense gratification. Tripyanti, become satisfied. Na, never. Iha, in material sense gratification. Kripanaha, the foolish persons. Bahuduka bhaja, subjected to various types of material unhappiness. Kandutivat. If one can learn from such itching. Manasijam, which is simply a mental concoction. Actually, there is no happiness. Vishaheta, and tolerates such itching. Diraha, he can become a most perfect sober person. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Big difference. Please repeat. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Purport. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all the materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensual happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life, one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of a lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. The lusty person who is compared to a foolish miser never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass. But as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. If one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low-grade happiness of sex life, Yamuna Acharya says in this connection, Yada vadhi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa dama nud yata rantum asit tada vadhi bhatta nari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishtivanam cha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. End of quote. Yamuna Acharya had formerly been a great king who enjoyed sexual happiness in various ways, but since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust. Om Jnanatimiranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jnanatas My Sri Guruvena Maha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Vanchakalpa Truvasya Kripasa Nubevata Paritana Pabanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, this is a continuation here of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to pacify the Lord. And these prayers are not only meant for the Supreme Lord, but they're also meant for us. Because obviously the Supreme Lord is not in any way inclined towards sense gratification in terms of how we understand it, how we know it, or how we've been trained in our lives. Krishna is involved in spiritual, sensual enjoyment. And it's not contaminated like we are thinking. In this particular verse, it's pretty much explaining the condition of all of us in this material world. We're all very much attracted and attached, especially to sex life. All of us want some kind of sense gratification. But especially this sensual sex life is the most binding force. And it's actually our worst enemy. Described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Raja Guna, Samudva, Mahajano, Mahapatma, Vidhi Inam, Iha Vairinam. Krishna tells Arjuna that this desire, this lust, this is what's really the driving force, is our lusty desires. So he tells Arjuna that this lust is born in contact with this material body in the mode of passion. And it turns into wrath. And from this wrath, one becomes so angry and agitated. And Krishna also goes on to say that this is the most sinful enemy of the world. It's our enemy. And here we see that the materialists, they're thinking that it's their best friend. How opposite is in terms of understanding what the real facts are. You see in the material world, from the very beginning of our life, we're being influenced how to enjoy sensual pleasure. I think most of us have seen, just in the course of our life, sometimes people will think it's so cute that a little boy or a little girl hold hands together and they're walking down the street. We think it's so cute. And we see sometimes in crazy situations, a little boy kisses a girl when they're like 2 or 3 years old. And we think, oh, this is so cute. It's so nice. But we can see that it's the beginning of distress for those two entities. It's the beginning of their hellish condition of life. Because from the very beginning of life, we're being taught how to enjoy our senses, especially with the opposite sex. And we don't realize that this is our most sinful enemy. It's our worst enemy. It's bringing us the greatest distress. And the material world is full of examples. We can see everywhere. Everywhere you go, you're being forced to look at sensual objects which implicate and imply sexual behavior. And we can't get away from it. So it's practically everywhere. And like I said, from the very beginning of life. But in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual life, Prahlad Maharaj says, from the very beginning, one should learn how to become renounced. From the very beginning, one should be trained. Matrivat paradare shu. From the beginning, Prahlad Maharaj says, not at 30 or 25, 20, 40, But he's saying 5 years old. From the very beginning, one should be trained that all women are one's mother, except for one's wife. Their mother. If we're trained from the very beginning of life to understand this, we can see how we would not be implicated in all these sensual, lusty activities for so-called happiness, which in actuality bring us great distress. So here, when we read this, we see that when we come in contact with this material creation, and which we do when we are born, we come in contact with this material creation, our eternal love for Krishna it turns into maya. It's transformed into lust. This is what happens. We are in our natural position, lovers of Krishna. But when we come to this material world, when we contact this material energy, this love for Krishna is actually transformed into lust. And from this lust, wrath is developed. Why? Because lust can never be satisfied. It's described just like a fire. As long as you're putting fuel into the fire will always burn. So this lust is like a fire. And the fuel is all this desire that we have for sensual pleasure. And the more that we feed that fire of lust, the more it burns and burns and burns. And we're never satisfied, just like the fire will never go out. As long as you keep putting ghee in it and some wood, you can keep this fire burning for hundreds of years. I think I've heard somewhere in India, there's some temples where they keep the flame going. And the flame has been going for years and years and years. They have all around the clock somebody constantly feeding the fire, performing yajna and chanting mantras. So you can keep this fire of lust burning constantly by trying to satisfy ourselves with sensual pleasure. But will there be ever any satisfaction or satiation? Never. You can have sex life so many times. Will you ever be fully satisfied? Never. Never. Yeah. Prabhupada said, this human form of life is meant for tapo divyam, for tapasya. Prabhupada said that if this body was made for sexual pleasure, it would be like a pigeon. A pigeon can have a sex life hundreds of times in a given day. Hundreds. You can see human form of life, it's not meant for that. We are meant for a higher consciousness. So because we take on this pigeon mentality, animalistic mentality, we're like cats and dogs. You know, cats and dogs, they freely engage in these activities. But another thing that cats and dogs do is they always fight. They're always fighting. If you see a cat and a dog, you know, as soon as a dog sees a cat, boom, there's problems. So we're like cats and dogs because of this lusty desire. Because we have these desires within our heart and they're never fulfilled. We fight like cats and dogs. That's what we do. Because our lust is so powerful. The minute we see someone that is interrupting or not giving us the type of satisfaction that we want to for our lusty desire, we fight like cats and dogs. There's no basis for it. A lot of times there's no basis for this fighting. We can't even understand, why am I fighting? You look at a cat and a dog and you wonder, well, why are you fighting? Why in the world is a dog, like, it's not even being trained, right? I mean, most dogs are not trained to chase a cat. But somehow they just see each other and boom, there's a problem. So this is like what we are. We're like cats and dogs. Because of our lusty desires, we fight like cats and dogs with each other. We don't even know why. Why? Well, I don't like you. I don't like you. I just can't help it. I'm going to fight with you. There's no control. Whereas human form of life is meant for control. Tapo divyam. We've said this many times. Prabhupada said it so many times. And I'm listening to lectures in fifth canto. And Prabhupada talks about this tapo divyam. This tapasya. And what is a tapasya for? For divine understanding. Divyam means divine. This is what human life is meant for. It's meant for controlling the senses for a higher reason, for that divine reason. And if we perform that austerity, that tapasya, only then will we be actually satisfied. Otherwise, we're entangled in this bodily platform of life. So lust cannot be satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment or sense gratification. So no matter what we do, and in the material world, the center of all this sense gratification is, of course, sex life. And the sex life is considered to be like Maitunya Agara. It's like shackles. This is what sex life and this sense enjoyment are like shackles for us. Prabhupada described, you've seen people in shackles, handcuffed, and their legs, their ankles are shackled. They have a waist is shackled, and they can hardly walk. Have you ever seen a prisoner like that? Shackled, yeah. Hardly they can move. They can't walk. So we're shackled by this sex desire in this material world. And Prabhupada says that just like a person in the material world who's a criminal, who does not obey the laws of God, they're shackled by the desire for sex enjoyment. This is how we're actually imprisoned within this material world. A prisoner in the material world is imprisoned by bars, shackles and bars. If you go to jail, you'll see they're behind bars. Well, we're not behind bars in terms of being in a room behind iron bars, but we're shackled, just like that prisoner who's a criminal. We're shackled in this material world by these desires. And you can see when these desires are not fulfilled, it creates so much disturbance in one's life. Our life is it's turned upside down. And there's so many examples of that in the material world. We see it every day. You hear about it. It's all around us. Murder, mayhem, country. There's sex, subtle sex also. Fame, distinction, adoration, profit. This is all subtle sex life. The gross manifestation is man and woman, or man and man, woman and woman these days. This is the gross manifestation of that subtle sex desire. So it's all around us. And we can see it's insurmountable. Prabhupada gives the example. How do you catch a big elephant? I think most of you have heard this. Elephant, so huge. It's a huge living animal. It's like you don't even get near it. It's scary. You don't even know what to do with it. You're just so huge. So how do they capture an elephant? Well, what they do is they take a she-elephant that's in heat, and they tie her. They tie her up. And then in front of her, they build a pit. They dig out a big, huge pit. And then they put grass over it. And so when the male elephant, he takes the scent or smells the scent of the she-elephant in heat, he loses all consciousness. He has only one thought in mind, and he just goes and tries to have sensual pleasure with the she-elephant and forgets everything and falls into the ditch. And this is how they captured such a huge living entity. So you can imagine us and how that's so appropriate to our life. When we're captured by this desire for sex, we lose all consciousness. We lose knowledge. We lose everything. And this is why it's the most sinful enemy of the living entity. Because when that desire is manifest in the heart, we will do anything in order to achieve that goal of sense enjoyment. We'll murder. Look at Ajamil. He stole. He did all kinds of criminal acts. He left his beautiful wife. He had a beautiful wife. He had family. He had children. He left everything. And he had brahminical training. He threw it all out just because he was absorbed in this sensual desire of wanting to have sex with this prostitute. And this woman was not even of good value. But still, that desire was so powerful He lost everything, all his consciousness. So this is very amazing. We wonder, how is this possible? But there's so many examples of this. So advancement of this materialistic society, of this material world, this material culture, as Prabhupada says here, on the basis of sense gratification, means increasing our duration of life in this material world, probably forever. Probably forever. There's 8,400,000 species of life, and human life is only 400,000. So there's 8 million, so for almost forever we can be caught up. And this human life is so valuable. This one life that we have is so incredibly valuable, because only in this life can we ask this question about who we are. Atato Brahma Jignas. Only in this human life can you ask, you know, yourself, well, what am I doing here? What should I do to get rid of my suffering condition? An animal can't ask that. You can talk to a dog. You can look at him. Hey, I feel it. Can he talk back? No. He just looks at you with his eyes and you go, oh, yeah, I love him. But they can't talk back. There's no conversation. They can't even think like that. There's no question of talking. So we see that if we act like cat and dog, no matter who you are, you can be a big prime minister. Prabhupada said you can be a prime minister. But you can have so much fame and so much glory and so much power. But if you act like a cat and dog, your next life will be like that. Because the divine, there'll be a divine decision maker. And that divine decision maker is Krishna through his energy. And so you may have so much power. It doesn't mean your position means nothing. You know, you can have a position in the material world and go somewhere and they'll treat you really good. They'll give you all kinds of, you know, things to make you happy. And they'll respect your position. But in this material world, if you act like an animal and you die, then next life, that's what you'll be. Your position means nothing. Your possessions mean nothing. They mean nothing. They have no consequence. So why waste this human form of life on these animal propensities, which get you nothing? They give you nothing. You can have all the assets in the world, but once you die and you go before the court of Yamaraj, does he care that you had a fancy car, a Ferrari, or if you had, you know, so many nice women? But does Yamaraj really care? It doesn't mean anything to him. So what? You act like a dog? Okay, here you go. Become a dog. Just like that. There's no argument. No, you can't make a plea. You may think, well, can I make a plea? No. There is no plea bargain in this circumstance. There's no plea bargaining whatsoever. It's set in stone, so to speak. Whatever our activities are. So in this life, we shouldn't waste it on these animal propensities. They'll get you nowhere. And even though you may think, oh, I'm really enjoying. But what is this enjoyment? It's your worst enemy. It's really your worst enemy. Because it creates so much disturbance and unhappiness in life. So we see that we have to be very careful when we go through this. In fact, what I'm going to do is I marked a spot here that I wanted to read a couple of things from the Bhagavad Gita. We'll finish up with this. And this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna about this lust. So we may think, well, where is this lust? Where is this, you know, like if you have an enemy, you want to know where is your enemy? You know, like America wants to know, who are our enemies? Where are they located? What do they do? So Krishna here, he speaks about that. He gives us an understanding who is our enemy and where they're located. So we'll just read this in the Bhagavad Gita, third chapter. Indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchate etaya vimo hat yadesha gyanam avritya dehinam. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Purport. The enemy has captured different strategic positions in the body of the conditioned soul. And therefore, Lord Krishna is giving hints of those places so that one who wants to conquer the enemy may know where he can be found. Mind is the center of all activities of the senses. And thus, when we hear about sense objects, the mind generally becomes a reservoir of all ideas of sense gratification. And as a result, the mind and the senses become the repositories of lust. Next, the intelligence department becomes the capital of such lustful propensities. So you imagine our intelligence? This is what happens. Our intelligence, it says, it becomes the capital, like Washington, D.C. It's the capital of America, of the U.S. So the intelligence becomes the capital where everything comes in and out of when lust is in there. Intelligence is the immediate next-door neighbor of the spirit soul. Lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire the false ego and identify himself with matter, and thus with the mind and senses. The spirit soul becomes addicted to enjoying the material senses and mistakes this as true happiness. This false identification of the spirit soul is very nicely explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tri daktuke svadhi kalatra dishu boma ijya dihi yatirta buddhi salile na karhichij janeshvabi gneshu ya sa eva gokaraha. A human being who identifies his body made of three elements with his self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of birth worshipable, and who goes to the place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like an ass or a cow. This is Krishna speaking, by the way. Read one more verse. Tasmat tvam indriya yadau niyam ya bharatarshava patmanam prajahi henam jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Purport. The Lord advised Arjuna to regulate the senses from the very beginning so that he could curb the greatest sinful enemy lust, which destroys the urge for self-realization and specific knowledge of the self. Jnana refers to knowledge of self and distinguished from non-self, or, in other words, knowledge that the spirit soul is not the body. Vijnana refers to specific knowledge of the spirit soul's constitutional position and his relationship to the Supreme Lord. It is explained thus in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnanam paramam guyam me yad vijnana sanvitam sa rahasyam tad angam cha grihana gatitam maya. The knowledge of the self and supreme self is very confidential and mysterious, but such knowledge and specific realization can be understood if explained with their various aspects by the Lord himself. Bhagavad Gita gives us that general and specific knowledge of the self. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord, and therefore they are simply meant to serve the Lord. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. So from the very beginning of life, one has to learn this Krishna consciousness, and thereby one may become fully Krishna conscious and act accordingly. Lust is only the perverted reflection of the love of God, which is natural for every living entity. But if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of God cannot deteriorate into lust. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to the normal condition. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So from any stage of life or from the time of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord, and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfectional stage of human life. So this is what Prabhupada says about this arch enemy, lust. Because people in the material world, they're simply thinking of satisfying the senses. Sukam indriyakam. They want to work hard just to get some sense gratification. This is what the living entity wants. They want to work so hard for them. It's described, nunam pramata kurute vikarma, vikarnam. Vikarma, that's what it is, vikarma. Nunam pramata. Prabhupada describes pramata as being mad. So people are mad after sense gratification. And as devotees, we should be very concerned if we're allowing this arch enemy in the form of lust to settle within our minds. And as it says here, that when we hear about these things, so when we speak of lusty desires, it penetrates into the mind, into the intelligence. This is what happens. So this is why in Krishna consciousness, we should be very careful how we associate with each other and not be the killer of the soul. The killer of the soul by our language, by what we say, and how we say things to each other, and how we inspire each other to uplift this lusty desire, the desire to enjoy sense gratification. And once we speak that, and it goes into the heart, into the senses, into the mind, to the intelligence, then what is our hope? Very difficult. Extremely difficult. So, our sacrifice, tapo divyam, is to work for Krishna. Yagnata kamano niyata kamra, lokayam karma bandhana. We have to work for Krishna. Yagnata kamano niyatra, lokayam karma bandhana. If we work for Krishna, and we give everything to Krishna, then we can become freed from this. This is the only process. This is the only way to become freed from all these lusty desires. And Krishna describes that. Tad artam karma kuntaya mukta sangha param vijat. Excuse me. Mukta sangha samachara. I'm a little spacey today. So Srila Prabhupada's desire was to develop first-class human beings. First-class. This is what Krishna consciousness is meant for. First-class living entities that know the science of Krishna and that try to avoid the pitfalls of all these lusty desires for sense gratification. So let's protect each other so that we can become first-class citizens. And in that way, people become attracted to our activities. And if they become attracted to our activities, they'll respect Krishna consciousness. But if we ourselves are indulging in all these activities, how can they have respect for us? Very difficult. And of course, most of us didn't sign up for that. We didn't really sign up for Krishna consciousness because we wanted to be leaders. We signed up because we were in distress and we wanted to get out of some kind of difficult position in life. But ultimately, this is what our responsibility is, that we should try to become first-class citizens and become good examples of people that they can follow. Maybe they can't even follow, but even if they respect Krishna consciousness for what it is, this is for their advancement. So we should be very conscientious not to allow ourselves to become overcome. And if we are, then we should read the Bhagavad Gita, and there you'll know where your enemy is. You can pinpoint who your enemy is. I'm not your enemy. I may look like it, but I'm not your enemy. Your enemy is in your senses, in your mind, in your intelligence. That's where your enemy lies. Because if you control that enemy there, you may think I'm the greatest guy that ever lived. You could look at me differently. We could look at each other differently. We could see each other and not fight like cats and dogs. Because the minute that lust gets in our mind, in our intelligence, we fight like cats and dogs. For no reason. We just fight. For no reason. We'll think of a reason. The minute we get this lust out of there, then you're everybody's beautiful. This is the position of a pure devotee. Pure devotee sees no enemy anywhere. Why? Because they have no lust. They're not hankering for sense gratification. They see every living entity as being beautiful, as a servant of God. And they think themselves as being the lowest of the low. This is how this happens. So we should study and we should really see how we can rid ourselves of these desires. Okay, I'm way over. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.